Hello, everyone. Let's all get in here. It's Q&A day. I'm going to get everything all set up on the screen so that we are ready to rock and roll. So here's how it works. If you would like to ask a question, all you have to do is pop it into the Q&A. Me and my team will be here answering questions. Let's see who our coach is. It's Coach Lisa today. So Coach Lisa and anybody from my team will always type in caps on your chat, but you can put stuff into the Q&A. Let me promote Lisa. There we go. She is on her way. And then let me pull up the Q&A so I can see it also. And I have exciting news. I know a lot of y'all are very curious about the book I'm writing. It is still being written. Let me just tell y'all, writing a book takes a hot minute. There you go. I just finished my first pass of reading it for content. Like it's been, there's a version that's written. There is the content review. Today, I'm doing voice review, which means I've got to, there's 18 chapters. I'm going through and making sure there's enough fucks, shits, titty babies, all the things in there, because we are writing it just like Corinne talks. And then we go back and do some other stuff to it. So it'll probably be early next year before we even see this book, but it is well on the way. And a lot of you keep writing in and asking about it. So I just wanted to give y'all a quick update since I was just editing a chapter on doable planning, which is next month's topic. So 24-hour planning, we are going to focus the entire month of August on. I just want to make sure you're super excited. We are wrapping up this month the birthday gift of pounds to me, which a lot of you are killing it. This week, let me get my notes, because this week the challenge is, let me find it. It's in here somewhere. Hang on. I swear to God, I just read it. Why am I not finding it? Well, this sucks. I just saw wherever y'all were doing. Y'all are doing something. What are y'all doing? Leave two bites behind? I swear to God, it was on the page and now I can't find it anywhere. Bites behind. Thank you. I'm like sitting here looking at my cheat sheet and I was like, I know when I read this morning, I swear it said bites behind. And then today, now that I'm looking at it, it's like, all right, I can't find it. All right. So drop it like it's hot. Don't forget that bites behind. Let me just give you a little preview of what bites behind is, but you can go to the Drop It Like It's Hot challenge page. There are always videos for our challenge for dialing in your hunger and dialing in your enough levels. Okay. So you don't necessarily need me to explain it, but I do want to just say a couple things about it that, that I think are important for all of you. Some of you don't like leaving bites behind, and I get it. To me, to this day, like I am 15 years in maintenance, I still don't like leaving bites behind. I promise you, my habit brain from the, you know, 30 plus years that I didn't leave food behind hasn't caught up yet to the 15 years that I am going to purposely do it. This is important because let me just tell you the purpose of leaving bites behind. Number one, it will help you when you are going out to eat. So the other day I was talking with someone and I said, you absolutely can use a smaller plate. For those of you who are just like, oh, I hate doing that part. I just want you to be aware of why you hate it. Doesn't mean that you have to do it, but I want you to at least do the investigative thought work on it. Most of the times what comes up for people is they hate leaving bites behind because then they have an error thought. I'm wasting food. That thought will never help you keep your weight off. You are going to have times in your life where you cannot control how much food is presented on your plate and it absolutely match up to what your body says it needs in the moment. You are going to go to restaurants. You are going to go to holidays and someone else make your plate maybe. You are going to get food served to you time and time again throughout your entire life. And if you hang on to the idea that leaving any of it behind somehow wastes food, it's going to hose you, because in those moments, you're going to feel very urgy and very compelled to finish your food. Now, a lot of you be like, but it is wasting food. It is a thought. It's also wasting food in your body. You're not choosing that thought. What's a bigger waste? Not eating something and eventually learning how to serve yourself less, eventually learning how not to overeat, and adding years to your life, not ever having to get on diabetes medicine. Your joints not blowing out because you weigh too much to be able to move around physically. Like, I want you to think about, what is the bigger waste? You can think about it. Like, if you want to hang on to the idea that leaving bites behind is a waste of food, that's one truth. We could look at it that way. The problem is it does not help us long-term in weight loss. It doesn't help us long-term figure out that the real waste in life is never learning how to give your body what it needs in order for it to feel amazing, for you to go after your dreams, and for you to never have to worry again that you might have to get on diabetes medicine and stuff. It's just a perception. And we get to decide how we perceive it every single day. So one of the reasons why I still to this day work on leaving bites behind on purpose is to get comfortable with the idea that, number one, if I'm leaving 2 to 3 bites behind, this is not like it's saving me thousands of dollars. We're talking a quarter to 50 cents worth of food typically. We don't think about it like that. But when we start thinking about, like, we're talking about 50 cents versus all the time that I spend worrying about my weight, all the things that I avoid in my life because of my weight, all the self-loathing that I'm doing, like, how about I start realizing that that's a bigger waste? It's a waste of my life. I'll throw 50 cents away to have a better life if that's what it's going to take. So, but I have to think about it in a new way. The other thing I just want y'all to think about is, like, one of the, when I leave a little bit behind, I think about, even when I'm doing it at home, it is training me to continue to evaluate how much food I need. As you age, as you get older, y'all, you're just going to need less. You know what? Like, for me, I'm noticing I need less food these days, even though I work out. You know why? I'm transitioning from them baby years, when your body knows it doesn't need to get pregnant anymore, when it doesn't need to have kids anymore. It's not needing to keep as many things going in there. So it's natural to not need as much food. That's not a cause to be angry. It's called what happens to humans. If you're going to get pissed at biology and natural evolution, you got like some real thought work to do. We ain't got time to be mad about evolution and the way that our bodies change. Why? Like, it's the most like insane thing we do to ourselves, sitting around getting pissed at our body changing when it's a natural process. That's like being mad that tables are hard. Like, I just don't understand why all these tables are hard. I just wish they were softer. Like, don't be mad at things that, like, you can't change. You need to figure out, how do I live with this now? How do I change my thinking? What else am I going to think about? Otherwise, you are at the effect. You're the one that feels sorry for themselves every day. You're the one that feels terrible. You're the one that ends up emotionally depleted by the end of the day because you let your brain go wild with thoughts on things that you can't control. Why do that to yourself? And that's what you have to ask yourself. Why am I choosing to do this to myself? Why get angry at things where anger is completely misplaced? Why not just decide? There are here's what I'm working on these days. I may need less food, but I'm getting damn close to days where I don't have to have this period no more. If that means I got to eat a little less, baby Jesus in the golden diaper, take my period away. I'm all in because I'm deciding to think that way. And we want to always be active in our decision making. So when you're leaving bites behind, it just helps you work on a few of the things that get in our way. But if you're just like, I don't like doing that, I don't like doing that, I don't even want to work on that, then use a smaller plate. You're still leaving bites behind. Now, just don't be fooling yourself. When you use a smaller plate, you're doing the same thing. You're just avoiding a thought by changing your circumstance. That's okay if you want to do that, but just know that that's all you're doing. And then you will need to be more conscious when you go out to eat, because you've never dealt with the thought of, when I'm served too much food for what my body needs, I've not worked on wasting food yet. So be prepared that when you go out to eat, then you'll have to work on it. If you go to the holidays, like, you're not going to escape working on that mentality. It's just going to come up usually on vacation, out to eat, at the holidays, and different times like that. All right. So that is leaving bites behind. I hope that these challenges, we designed all of them in order to help all of you really pay attention to your food and your thinking. Everybody who says, I struggle with enough and hunger, I want you to stop saying that and say, I am willing to test it over and over again until I figure it out. That is a thought switch that you need to adopt. Everyone in the beginning and for a while, we're not like you, I want to say you struggle, but it's not that we struggle. It's that it is new to us, which means we are going to make mistakes about it. It means sometimes you are going to overeat. Sometimes you are going to eat before you're hungry, but it's all about learning. It's not about loathing. It's not about like, I don't get this, I struggle and stuff. It's just, are you willing to be committed long enough until you figure it out? Or are you only committed to the point in which you can't stand yourself because you talk to yourself like an asshole? That's what most of us are doing. It's like, I'm committed until the moment I talk to myself like such a bitch that I don't want to hear my bitch voice anymore. So I quit trying to shut off that voice. And I'm like, oh my God, don't do that. Be committed until you figure it out. And when your bitch voice starts, use that as the opportunity to learn how to start talking to yourself when you are not perfect. I think all of us could use practice in that. So don't stop doing something in order to not hear a self-loathing voice. Keep doing it thousands of times so that you get thousands of practices at shutting your bitch voice down. Isn't that kind of better? One, you're going to redefine the relationship with yourself. Two, eventually you will figure out how to do this because you didn't stop. All right. So this week, we also had 20 people join the Queen's Club. Jennifer Rowe was one of them. And she said, I'm becoming the woman I've always wanted to be. I'm nowhere near goal, but I feel beautiful and confident, proud and comfortable in my own skin. I've gained a belief in myself I never thought I'd achieve. If I never lost another ounce, it wouldn't be the biggest loss because of the mental growth that I've gained. So if you want to know more about Queen's Club, go on over to nobiaswomen.com. Only thing you have to do is have lost 25 pounds, whether you've lost it with me, you lost it before you joined us, however you lose it, everything's game. And then you can join the Queen's Club where you get a special Facebook group and a special monthly coaching call every month just for the Queen's Club. And then we also had a new member join the Century Award group, and that is Lizzie. I'm going to butcher your last name, Jeknavorian. And she, I just want to remind you that anyone who's lost 100 pounds, whether it's before you joined No BS or after, you qualify for the Century Club Award, because I just value every pound that we have to lose no matter what. So congratulations, Lizzie. If y'all will give her a shout out, it's Jeknavorian. Yeah. She over in Facebook. Let's see. Somebody is saying, do you see Corinne full screen? Probably not. Let me change the screen. Let me put on speaker view. There we go. Now you can see me full screen probably. But if y'all give her congratulations over in Facebook, I'd appreciate it. All right. Let's talk about staying accountable and doing what you'll say you're going to do. So there are like three things that are important to following through on what you're going to say you're going to do. And the first one is to realize it is not normal to be accountable to yourself. So a lot of times there's two things that are important to understand about accountability. A lot of times people confuse responsibility and accountability. Responsibility is where you take responsibility for your action or for your results. So let's say you lost 2 pounds this week. Taking responsibility for that would be reminding yourself of the things that you did this week to get there, showing yourself your habit tracker, going through and looking at all the things that that you did, like you said yes to and you said no to solidify in your brain, look, I'm changing. This is how successful people do things. Successful people always look at what's working and they cement that that's the person they're becoming in their brain. And then they look for what's not working. So let's say you're going to take responsibility for your results and maybe you gained 2 pounds this week. Successful people do this. They still go through their week and they remind themselves of the things that they still did right. Because what happens is people who aren't successful, if they don't get the absolute result they want, they throw everything away, including what they're doing right. So very often I watch y'all make mistakes. It's like, if you gain 2 pounds, but let's say you still drink your water this week and you still planned every day, you just didn't follow your plan. And maybe you had like a donkey butt eat on a Friday. I watch y'all like, nothing's working. I failed last week. I didn't do anything right. Suddenly, because the result isn't what we thought it would be, we throw everything away. You have to be very careful about this, because when people, successful people, are always looking for what they're still doing that they can build upon to reassure and calm themselves down. And then the second thing that they do is they look at the actions that they did and they hold themselves accountable to them. So that's where, so responsibility is about taking responsibility for what happened as the result of all your actions. Accountability is where you hold yourself accountable to what you're going to do. And in NoBS, this looks like there's a few ways that we do it. Number one, it can be self-accountability by watching your habit tracker, saying like, this week I will plan 7 days. I'm going to check it off. I'm going to set a time when I'm going to do it. I'm going to lay my planner out somewhere where I like for me, I keep my iPad charging right next to the chair where I'm going to do my plan every single day so that I have no excuses first thing in the morning. So when you're holding yourself accountable, it can be to set up plans and trackers so that you know how to show up for yourself and that you quickly understand when you're not on track. The second way that accountability works is you can have external accountability. So one of the things that we do inside of NoBS is we offer you accountability partners in groups. So you can sign up on our website. If you go over to NoBSwomen.com, there is a place where you can ask for an accountability partner or group, and we will match you with other NoBS women inside the program. We ask you try it out for 30 days. If after 30 days, it's not working, let's say y'all don't gel. Maybe one person decides like, oh, this wasn't for me, and they kind of just drop out. Or maybe you just find like, I just want a group who is working more on, maybe I want a group who's got 55 plus members in it. You can just ask for a new one. We will place you as many times as needed until we find a good partner and a good group for you that works for your needs. So there's always external accountability to your actions. And the best way that that accountability works is you ask the people in there to check in with you on the habits and behaviors you're going to need most follow up with. So like for me, I check in with Jane every day and I talk about, like, most of the time I talk about what I'm going to do in terms of my workout, because I mean, I love working out, don't get me wrong, but I'm a little sometimey on the planning of it. Like, I make plans and then sometimes I'm switching plans. And I made a commitment to myself this summer that I was going all in on weights. I wanted to like lift heavy this summer. I did not want to be doing a bunch of running. I wanted to only do like walks or quick cardio. If I'm doing cardio, it's going to be like 20, 30 minutes best. Most days of the week, I wanted to lift, lift, lift. So I have been checking in with her each day, and she's been checking in with me on what did I lift? Did I push myself like I said I would? So I asked her to kind of check in and like with me on a behavior that I know sometimes I struggle with. I know I make excuses. I justify. I do about B-level work. And I wanted to do A-level work this summer. So you just tell your accountability partners, this is what I most need help with. It's not usually like when I think about it, sometimes we need ideas and stuff, but most of the time I need somebody poking and prodding at me. Did you do these things you said you would do? And just be honest. So we want to make sure that we're using accountability. There is a third way. So we have the accountability of our actions. We have the external accountability. And then I like to have accountability in my journal. I like to write to myself about my dreams and my goals every single day. And I like to write about why they're important. What is something that might get in my way today? And what can I do about it? And I write about dreams every day. Even I have dreams. I have my own goals and aspirations, and I write about them. I don't write about every single one of them every day. Most of the time what I do, I'm usually working on like 5 to 6 big goals over the course of a year. And what I do is like every day, I just pick one of them and I write about it. I write about ideas of how I can make it easier, things that might get in my way, why it's so important to me. And that just keeps my brain thinking and holding myself accountable to the goals that I most want in my life. So being accountable, it's going to require, like, sometimes it's external accountability, understanding that it's all about your behaviors and patterns. But one of the other key things about accountability, other than knowing that it's not normal, like most of us don't hold ourselves accountable. That's just a normal human thing. We don't like to do it because we're judgy ass bitches in our head. And whenever we're holding ourselves accountable, what are we normally doing? Beating ourselves up. So one of the nice things about learning how to be accountable to yourself is you learn how to stop beating yourself up. I am a big believer. I talked about it earlier in don't take away the stimulus that gets your brain to act like a complete asshole. Keep stimulating your brain to talk to you like an asshole so you can learn how to change the conversation. That conversation won't change if all you do is take the stimulus away. It just means there is an asshole in me begging to get out, and it's going to find ways to figure it out. You're never going to be able to eat enough to turn off your asshole brain. For those of you who are here, tell me if this is true or not. Those of you who say like, well, I eat to avoid my emotions and I eat to avoid feeling bad. Give me a heart if you are trying to out-eat it and you just can't. Exactly. Tons of hearts coming up, tons of them. It's we fool ourselves into thinking we can out-eat that asshole voice. But in reality, what happens is the asshole voice starts up and then we eat. The asshole voice starts up and then we eat. And then we have an asshole voice about what we're eating. And then we have an asshole. Now it's like, all right, I'm done with the eating. I turned off that part. Now I feel like an asshole for eating. And then when I try to turn that part off, now I feel like an asshole because I'm gaining weight. You're not changing the asshole conversation. You're not changing your perspective on yourself because you're too busy taking away the stimulus of the jerk. So what we want to do is quit trying to outrun it. Meet it head on. Change the conversation. Use the four N's. Whenever you hear the asshole voice, use those four ends like a boss, y'all. That is one of the quickest ways to changing that internal conversation that we keep having over and over and over again. And for fuck's sake, do it on paper. Your asshole voice will not change if you're only trying to autocorrect on the fly. You need to write. You need to tell yourself, here's that shit I think about myself. And I want to know it. I don't want to run from it anymore. It's exhausting. And it's given me more things to think like an asshole to myself about. I want to see what it, my opinion of myself. I want to see all of it. Because it's just thinking. Because thinking can always be flexible, malleable. It can change. It can be manipulated. And that's the beautiful thing about thinking. It is not set in stone. You are not, whatever it is you think about yourself today, y'all, I promise you it is not set in stone. It may come back a lot. It may happen often, but that doesn't mean it's set in stone. It means it's an invitation to keep working on it. What's an example of taking the stimulus away? Taking the stimulus away would be saying something like, I'm not going to weigh because I judge myself when I get on the scale. I'm not saying you can't take stimuluses away, but that would be one example. Some people will say I don't want to keep thinking I can't journal, so I'm going to quit journaling. I hate that I'm a terrible planner, so I'm going to quit planning so I don't have to think I'm a terrible planner. Guess what? We never learn to improve. None of that stuff ever happens. We don't want to take away the things that, like wasting food's another one. I talked about it in the beginning. A lot of times people are like, well, I don't want to leave two bites behind because then I'd have to think I'm wasting food. So you're taking the stimulus away that doesn't change your identity with food, your relationship with food. You're just leaving yourself up to chance every holiday and every time you go out to eat. It's like, well, I didn't work on this thought. So when I go out to eat, now I'm just stuck with this every single time. That's what I mean by taking away the stimulus. All right. So that's accountability. That is like how you do what you say. The ways to remember to do what you'll say you'll do. Number one, don't say you're going to do something that ain't doable. Like stop telling yourself you're going to do shit that you know you ain't going to be able to do, that you can't, don't have time to do, whatever. Set some minimum baselines of what you'll do and then learn to do that first. Learn to be committed. Either get an accountability partner or a group and use them. Use your habit tracker inside your planner as a way to hold yourself accountable to your behaviors so that you get to see what's happening. Don't stop, talk about the stimulus. Don't take away the habit tracker just because it's not perfect. So that you don't have to sit there and think like, oh my God, I'm never going to lose weight. Oh my God, I don't do anything that I say I'm going to do. Keep using it. Keep teaching yourself. If I'm not tracking, I for sure won't move the needle. I am going to sit here and track. That does not mean I can't lose weight. It means I'm seeing clearly the things I'm going to work on inside No BS. So we've got people, we have a habit tracker. It's not normal to hold ourselves accountable. It's one of those things, it's a learned behavior. It does not come naturally. So don't beat yourself up if it doesn't. And then the last thing I really want to cover on this before I get to any other questions is a lot of times holding yourself accountable requires neutral thinking. All this means is that whatever is happening, when I talked about stimulus and taking away the stimulus, if you, let's say, for the month of July, you notice you only planned 5 days and the other 26, you didn't. Neutral thinking is planned 5 days, 26 days without a plan. Most of the, if you have that thought, it just is like, well, that's the fact. This is just what happened. So what do I want to do next month about this? I want to move it to 7 days. I'd like to see like, or maybe twice a week now I'm going to plan. That would give me 8 days of planning. So when you use neutral thinking, you're not disastering yourself. You're not catastrophizing. You're not self-loathing. What most of us would say is we would look at 2 days of plan, or however many days I said, 5 and 26. And we would summarize it this way. I suck at making a plan. I struggle with making a plan. I'm not good at making a plan. That's not neutral. That's a perception that harms your identity. You are not, if you made 5 plans, you are not someone that sucks at planning. You are simply a human who made 5 plans with a goal of 8 for the next month. Think about the difference between those two perceptions. One throws you under the bus, keeps reinforcing a shitty narrative about you. One does not throw you under the bus and changes the narrative you have about you. All right, let's look at some questions. In Ask Coaches, they suggested I make a list of things I can do when I'm tempted to eat because I don't feel like I'm good enough. I'm not sure yet what these things could be. I realize I'm eating because I want a small, fast distraction from the feeling. So I guess I need replacement actions that are small and fast. Taking a bath or getting a pedicure ain't going to fit in these situations. Any suggestions? Breathing. Liz, you could sit there and breathe. You could pop in a 2-minute meditation. You could, let's see, you're looking for, one thing you could do is you could write on a card 5 reasons why I am good enough. 5 reasons why I'm not good enough is a lie. You could do that. And then when you are having that feeling, you get the card out and you read it. Most of the time when you are thinking about your, when you're not feeling good enough, you want to be able to see something that will counteract that. Because most of us, when we're thinking we're not good enough, it's going to be really hard for us to pivot our thinking in the moment and switch and come up with new thinking. That's why I want y'all journaling, because if one of the things you notice you often think is I'm not good enough, on paper, we want to start changing the narrative. Here are the, like, list all the reasons why you think you're not good enough, then go to battle arguing the other side. So I want you to think about, you not being good enough is like the prosecutor in the trial. They're trying to prove you're guilty of not being good enough. Then you want the defense attorney to come out with every reason. And I want you to defend as if you want a not guilty verdict. It's why this is not true. When we do this on paper, y'all, this is what ends up happening. Your brain, especially your habit brain, starts cataloging these new thoughts that you have. So just like your shitty thoughts that you have about yourself, your brain over time has cataloged those. Okay. Now what we want to do is we want to teach your brain how to catalog new thinking. But both of those arguments are going to be in your brain for a long time. And you need to do the new thinking a lot, because old thinking has had plenty of reps that you've never interrupted. Think of every time your brain has thought about it and you've never interrupted it and you've just ate over it. Your brain's well practiced there. So you're going to want to write about this frequently. And it's going to be hard because your brain's going to be like, it's just not true. It's just not true. We want to write about it anyway. And we want to find the truth in it. Then what happens is that at night, when this starts happening and you're wanting to eat, you can read those things, and then you'll eventually see that your brain will offer a, I'm not good enough, and be like, yeah, but we've also been thinking this. Then you'll have the duality of emotion. You have the duality of thoughts. You'll have the old ones coming in along with new ones coming in with it. And the beautiful thing is that when we get both of them coming in at the same time, as humans, we always want to feel good. That is just what a human wants. So right now, your brain has been sending up shitty thoughts. And it's like, well, if she's not going to think something good, I need to get her to do something that feels good. Eat. It's immediate. It's a reward. And now what we're doing is we're teaching your brain to go to a thought that feels good, so it has something magnetic to lean towards. If you eat when you're not hungry, Can you stop it enough? Well, I wouldn't, I don't even, so they're like, I don't even know if I would, if I caught, this is what I would do. If I caught myself eating when I'm not hungry, I would just stop eating. The moment that I catch myself in that action, I would stop eating. Now, sometimes what we do is we eat before we're actually hungry, but I mean, we have a little room. So, I mean, technically you could, but you're not going to eat much if you think about it. Like if you start eating when you're not hungry, like you, it's probably like two or three bites and you're probably at an enough level by that point. So, I mean, you could, but I think the way that I would think about it more is it's not so much if I notice I wasn't hungry when I started eating, well, now I'm going to wait for enough. Here's what I would do. I'd be like, oh, I wasn't hungry. Time to stop eating right now. Let's just dead stop. I'm a June baby. I am a night snacker, but sometimes I get up in the middle of the night to eat. The urge is strong. I am able to say to myself, I choose not to eat, but sometimes that does not work. Any suggestions? Keep doing that because it's working. Like you think sometimes it's not working, but here's how I look at it. You're already seeing that it works. And so that means that your brain, the more that it works and the more you focus on this is working, this is working, this is working, the more your brain will want to keep doing that behavior. Now, if you're sometimes still eating and you're allowing yourself to think like this must not be working, I can't believe I'm doing this, you're going to slow the progress down. There is a video in the membership called The Phases of Change. So my team will link that video in the show notes and they'll put it in the chat. That explains kind of like how the brain works. It goes through phases. So like in the beginning, when you start a new behavior, especially for all of you who are newer to the four basics and stuff or newer to anything that we're doing, the first phase is about 20% of the time it works. 80% of the time, you just miss it. It's like your brain is so into the habit, it hasn't learned how to slow down yet. So you have to like keep learning how to slow down, but you don't want to focus on it's not working just because it's 20/80. You want to start telling yourself, oh, it's starting to work. I'm starting to see progress. Same thing. The next round is like 40/60. You start notice about 40% of the time it's working. 60% of the time you're still in your old habit routine. And you just keep plowing forward. You just keep like focusing on this is working. Like now I'm doing it more often. And then it keeps going on and on and on. So when the urge is strong, one of the things, so right now, I think what you're doing is you're saying, I'm able to say to myself, I choose not to eat. One thing you could layer in that might help you like move through even more times where you don't eat is to allow yourself to do the now process, which is module 2, unit 8, feeling the feelings inside of no BS. If you will allow yourself to feel a strong urge. So what happens when we feel a feeling, when we use the now process, is what we're doing is we're going from experiencing the urge, which most of us experience an urge with our thoughts. Like, oh my gosh, I have an urge. This one's really strong. And we have a lot of thinking around it. And every single thought feels hard, feels big. Like even when you describe it as, here I am having a strong urge. I hope I don't eat. I choose not to eat. Like when we're doing that, we're sending more and more chemicals through our body because every thought has an emotion attached to it. And every emotion has a chemical cocktail unique to it that floods the body, that allows your body to shake, reverberate, increase heart rate, saliva, all that kind of stuff. So most of us, what we do when we think we're having an urge is we're having thoughts about our urges. And so we want to clean up the thoughts. I would just go to, oh, here I am having a nighttime urge. And now I want to watch it go through my body. So you basically lay there and you start at the top of your head and you just start going like, all right, what are the physical sensations of my head, my eyes? How's my breathing? What's going on in my mouth, my throat? And we start identifying all the physical sensations that are happening with the urge. This does two things. One, it shuts the thinking down about the urge because now we're thinking about the body and the brain can only focus on one thing at a time. It just can't do multiple things. So that takes the pressure off of there. So those chemical cocktails start slowing down. So you're going to notice urges won't feel as strong. If an urge feels really strong, it's because you have more thoughts about the urge than you have other ones. Like for me, if I have an urge, let's say I want a drink. Let's say I want wine. Sometimes in the morning, I don't have an urge to drink in the morning, but I'm already thinking like, ooh, it would be fun to go out tonight. That urge is not super strong. It's like a fleeting thought. It's a moment of an urge. And I usually catch it and tell myself like, oh yeah, we're not doing that tonight. But then by 5 o'clock, I'm like, you've had a long day. You deserve a break. This would be a good night for date night. I have multiple thoughts that each one of them are sending up the urge signal. That's why it feels strong. It's the multitude of thoughts. An urge in and of itself doesn't feel more intense unless there's more intense thinking backing it up. But so what most of us mistake is that we think an urge is stronger when in reality, we just have a lot of thoughts unchecked. They're coming on all at the same time. And when you have lots of thoughts coming at the same time, combating with I choose not to eat is like I've got this one thought against the 20 that came along for the ride. That's why it can feel like out of balance. If you had like a seesaw, that's why it can suddenly feel like one, like, you know, the big kid on the football team just came and sat on the other end of the seesaw with you. So it's more about watching now the urge go through your body. It stops the avalanche of thinking, takes your mind off of that. And it also allows you to start learning that urges aren't bad. They aren't uncontrollable. They aren't the things we think they are. We start teaching like, oh, an urge for me is increased heart rate. An urge for me is my hands shaking. An urge for me is a flushed face, saliva. That also changes things when it comes to the urge. It's an old diet thinking day. Can the body really be in a calorie deficit when it is tapping into thousands of calories on my body? This is what I would tell myself, Kirsten. How is answering that question ever going to help me lose weight? Sometimes our brain likes to ask questions, and sometimes we just need to tell us, oh my God, it's so irrelevant. Who cares? Let's just believe that if your body is burning off calories on your ass, that you're going to lose weight. It would like weight loss happens when you burn calories off your ass versus burning calories off of the pancakes you ate for breakfast. Let's just assume that's the truth. Super helpful to assume that way. But if we start trying to like nitpick how weight loss happens, we're spending time nitpicking weight loss. Sometimes you got to shut shit down, Kirsten. You can't just sit there and let your brain run wild when it's, if you like, it's an old diet thinking day. Say, no, it ain't. You know what it is? It's officially new thinking day. For every butthole thought that comes up today, we are doing a tough mutter. We are going to do all the obstacles. Everything my brain offers today, I am countering with some new age bullshit. No old diet thinking today. What else did you say? Or the metabolism slow down. No, your metabolism does not. You know what slows the metabolism down? Overeating and carrying too much weight on your body. I always love it when we worry that we're running our metabolism down by giving our body exactly what it needs. Like, what the fuck are we even doing around here? Like, think about this. I'm so worried I'm tanking my metabolism by listening to what my body needs to eat. Today, it's telling me it'd rather feast on my ass because I was at Golden Corral 3 months ago eating as if another coronavirus was going to hit and they're going to close the buffet. Like, let's just remind our brain who is in charge. Old diet thinking is not in charge. Let's see. I self-sabotage when I'm camping. Why does it seem more difficult to catch and not do an urge when out of my usual environment? Because you're out of your usual environment. You're probably like, y'all, self-sabotage is the intentional like the intentional overeating, because we have thoughts of things like, you know, like, well, if I lose weight, everybody will be looking at me and I don't like compliments. That's a self-sabotage. If you're going camping, it's probably because you associate camping with eating. Having a good time around food. You need to think, like, I want you to journal, Lisa, on when I go camping, what are my thoughts about food and camping? Is it, it's fun? It's hard to say no. And you need to combat all of them. Like, if your thought is it's fun to eat while camping, that is not a useful thought, because then when you get there, guess what your brain's going to think? It's not fun if I don't eat. So you need to, like, tell yourself, eating doesn't make it more fun. My thoughts when I'm eating, I need to uncover those, because that's the only thing that can create fun. Food can't make things fun. Food is just food. And then between food and my feelings is my big ass brain. And it has got stories around this. So I need to uncover the stories that I have, because when I'm camping, I'm not paying attention anymore. That's normal. So you want to, first of all, address the stories that you have around camping. And then what are the stories you want to have around food and camping? Like, when, if I go like Vegas, my story around food in Vegas is I'm having plenty of fun. I don't need to be eating on top of it, because it never allows me to have fun when I get back home. It just makes me think every Vegas trip is like, oh, that's terrible. I have done so good this summer because I have been really intentional about understanding what's actually fun when I'm in Vegas. It's never the food. You know what's been fun for me this year? Deep conversations with Chris. Hugging him. We played a game this last time. I'll tell you what's fun. So we go to the same pool every single time. If y'all are ever in Vegas and you ever go to Moraya, you will find us. We take up residency at the Moraya pool in the little cabana area in the corner. That's like our spot. They might as well get a gold plaque and just put it right there. Chris and Corinne live here. And so we played this game where we were going to pretend that we're going clubbing one night, because Chris and I do not go clubbing. We are old folks. Like, we are in bed by 8 o'clock most of the time. And so we have been going to Vegas now for 15 years, 20 years, 15 years at least, 10 to the same area. And we've gotten to know so many of the locals and the kids that work there and the staff at our hotels. Like, they all know our names. Half of them think most people think we live there. If they don't think we live there, they have our phone numbers. They text us. They wish us happy birthday. We know their kids' birthdays, all the things. All right. So to say all that, what I'm telling you is we played a game where we got to pick teams. So I would pick, like, if I was going clubbing, who do we know in Vegas that would be on our A team to make the night lit? We just went through people and we were like, all right, I choose this person. I choose this person. And we did that for like 2 hours, figuring out who would be the perfect party team with us. We do a lot of imaginative things. And so when I think about, like, Vegas, I don't think about food. I think purposely about, how am I having a good time outside of food? Because when I really recognize that, when I'm in Vegas, I don't have as many urges. I notice myself when I'm wanting to order food and I'm thinking, like, oh, this is not going to make the rest of the trip as fun. This is going to, like, ruin going home and ruin my memories. Because I have done so much work on the front end on thinking about what's not fun about overeating on vacation. What do I need to pay attention to? So, like, for you, like, when I'm camping, what are the times where I'm missing the signals, when I'm just overeating? What are the environmental cues can I set up? Can I tell myself ahead of time that if I'm lingering around like a picnic table where the food is, that I need to remove myself, because when I linger, I'm more likely to eat when I'm not hungry. So, but thinking through all of this ahead of time makes you more present when you're, like, when it's boots on the ground time. Any advice for an accountability group with disordered thinking around the scale? Accountability group one said takes extra water pills, have a loss, and one only drinks 32 ounces of water and limits day before. I would have them watch the Conquering the Scale course. Why don't you suggest that your entire accountability group watch the Conquering the Scale course? Have them listen to this if you want. You can say like, hey, I just asked. Here's the thing. When we're in Weight Watchers, we have learned to monkey stuff. I remember when I was in Weight Watchers, one of the things that I used to do is on weigh-in day, I couldn't go until 5 o'clock in the afternoon because I got off work. I think it was the 6 o'clock meeting actually, but I got off work at 5 and I couldn't go during the day. I would have much rather gone to an early morning meeting so I wouldn't have to starve myself all day. But when I went to Weight Watchers, here's what I did. I would not eat all day. I wouldn't drink water. When I got to the center, I made sure I wore the same clothes. I take off my earrings. I take off my belt. I take off my shoes so I could see the scale go down. Do you know what I was practicing? No weight loss behaviors. I was practicing antics. But what I wasn't doing was practicing long-term solutions. Taking some water pills, or what was the other thing that we're doing? Limiting food the day before only teaches you to do that on that day. But what about your other 6 days? You're not learning what you need to learn. Now, for a few weeks, that might work. But guess what? If it's going to take you about a year to lose all your weight, it ain't going to work all year. Eventually, it's going to stop. Antics do work for a couple weeks. But you ain't learned shit about how to lose weight. You've only learned how to manipulate the scale. And then you go back. Like, the question is, like, all right, outside of the day where I'm manipulating the scale, the other 6 days, what am I doing that causes me to need to manipulate the scale? Because whatever I'm doing those other 6 days, that's what I need to work on. And it's probably not going to be as hard. I promise you, all of you, because I know that these two ladies ain't the only ones in here shenanigan up before we weigh in. But I promise you that it is way harder to manipulate, lie, and fool yourself than it is to question if you're hungry, write down foods that you want to eat each day, learn to be committed to yourself. Wake up each day feeling like, all right, this is doable. You may need to battle it ain't good enough in your brain, but I would much rather you overcome the version of you who tries to make the things don't sound good enough. I'd rather you become the kind of person who proves to yourself that it is good enough than sit around and prove to yourself that you need to do scale antics to get it to move. So take the Conquering the Scale course. Have them listen to this. Stop tomfoolery. Tomfoolery does not equal weight loss. If all it took to lose all of our weight, I swear to God, if all it took was, let me get you some water pills and all y'all don't eat the day before, barely eat and drink water the day before weighing in. If that's what it took to lose weight long-term, guess what our program would be? Me sending everybody water pills and having you do that. And the rest of the week, we'd act like jackasses. But it doesn't work. That's why it's not a plan. It's fooling you into thinking you're doing something when you're actually doing a disservice to yourself. Do you think exercise helps the mind to get in the place where we need to be to do this? No. This is why. I do not forget that exercise is just a fact. It's just something that you've done. Your thoughts about it either will motivate you or not. So for some of us, like if I'm exercising, I may have thoughts like, I took care of myself today. And that makes you feel good. And when you feel good, you look for new ways to take care of yourself. Or I could exercise today and think, ooh, I get to eat extra. And then I feel giddy and urgy. And then all day long, I look for ways to add in extra food. Exercise doesn't do shit. All it does is, I mean, it takes care of your body. It's got amazing benefits. I don't like, Lord knows, I love exercise. I'm not poo-pooing it, but it's not a weight loss tool. Your brain is your weight loss tool. So no matter what you do, you're always having thoughts about it. It's just like if you move exercise down to like what you do, some people are doing it. It's like, I have to. It's the only way to lose weight. And they always feel like they're willpowering. And then they exercise and they're trying to lose weight, always shoving themselves through the you know, the crucible. Whereas some people, their thought will be to get them to go exercise is, I'm ready to be able to get in the floor and play with my grandkids. They feel willing. They're not having to force themselves to do it. They have inner motivation because they came up with a good reason to do it. So exercise in and of itself is not a solve. It's just something, but you want to examine your thoughts around it. All right, y'all. I need to go to the bathroom like really bad. I have drank a lot of these. If you did not get your question answered, will you please take it to either, you can take it to the Facebook group. If you have, there's a couple of exercise questions. There is an exercise group inside of, in our subgroups. So if you go to the website and look for our Facebook subgroups, go to the exercise group and post questions there. They'll talk to you about what all they do, what all they think, all of their information. We've got a lot of like people who love fitness over there. Any other questions? You can take it to the main feed in Facebook, and I bet your peers will have 1,001 answers for you. My community team is there. They answer questions daily. Or you can take it to Ask Coaches, and one of the coaches will answer the question for you. All right. Y'all have a good one. I will see y'all on Sunday for coaching. Bye, y'all.